One. The world's a better place because you're here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. The NBA playoffs have definitely been better than they were a week ago. We have some series that ended already. We had some series go down to the wire, and there is a lot to talk about. Me and the great Fresh Faces is here to talk all about that. Let's talk more playoff basketball. What's up, Faces?
How are we doing, Matt?
Excellent. Great to see you. Just quick program. We know we missed out on our NFL draft recap because of the Knick game that we're just about to talk about. Don't worry. We will have that for you on Tuesday. No tweet cap next week either because of a crucial game six that we have to pay attention to. So this will be our only show this week, but we'll be back to three shows next week with this NFL draft recap and another tweet cap. But on to other things. Let's focus on what's happening in the postseason right now in the NBA. Let's first start with the Knicks. So basically, I should say, let me just explain. We'll go through the remaining series that are still alive right now. Then we'll talk about the teams that have made it to the next round, teams that went home early. And then we'll preview the one series that is set for now. And we'll go from there. So, okay, and by the way, we are recording in the middle of Game 5, Celtics and Heat, which looks like the Celtics are going to go to the next round themselves, and then we have the Clippers and Mavs Game 5 will be recorded the same night as this. So, let's begin it. All right, we have the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. I won't lie, Faces, I thought you and I were going to speak about the Knicks advancing, but due to Tyrese Maxey having the game of his life, scoring 6 points in the last 28 seconds, then handling them in overtime, seven points in the last 28 seconds, and Sixers are taking over in overtime, Jalen Brunson being a ball hog. And now we're here. The series really can go either way. Sixers are favored in game six. I expect there to be a game seven on Saturday. And as a Knicks fan, I'm sweating. As somebody with an objective opinion in this, what did you get out of game five? What have you got out of since we last talked? It was 2-0. Now it's 3-2. Pretty interesting series that's definitely going down to the wire.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Tyrese Maxey played really well, and Embiid played really, really badly. And I think he's incredibly lucky that Tyrese Maxey saved him, because he was having a terrible game. And the bigger problem is the Knicks don't have an answer for Maxey. Like, they don't have anybody quick enough to stand in front of him. And also, like, to your ballpark point, who's going to create a shot for themselves? DiVincenzo's the only one who maybe has a shot. He's scoring 8 points per game.
Exactly, and he's losing minutes out to McBride, and Thiz just doesn't trust him, and somewhat don't blame him, but you're right, and we talked about in the series before, not having a true number two on this team is really showing their vulnerability and weakness. And you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, in that overtime, you would prefer Jalen Brunson. He'd be the one to make those shots, but as you said, not on the floor at all, holding it, and then a couple times he did try to pass, you know, missing out with Hartenstein, and it was a mess, and they are double-teaming him, and they have somebody, even if Oubre's not making shots, he's playing great defense against Brunson. It's very tough going into this game six without realizing that, yeah, this is this really could go either way. It's fair to say Knicks stole game two, and then Sixers stole it right back with this. It's there's plenty of things to consider right now, and without Brunson, nobody else is really stepping up in a scoring role, at least. And no Bogey with Bogey injury in game four, losing a valuable player in that stinks.
So they traded for Alex Burke, and he's just not playing. The Tibbs just doesn't play him.
He's just not in the rotation for whatever reason in the playoffs. He only played seven games.
At the very least, you could afford to play him in some of the Don and Bead minutes. Like, you know, it's not like you have a lot of options. Like, give it a shot to try something.
To answer your question, I've watched every single one of these press conferences. No one's actually asked him about Burks yet. No, Burks had a difficult second half of the season after the trade, but not that that's an excuse. But I don't know. It's just Thibs just trust the other seven guys. Only seven players played. And, you know, it's yeah, at this point, I guess might as well. Burks could prove he could score in this league and be good on the perimeter, but that's just Thibs being his old school ways and just not giving him the chance as of now.
I don't know how much of an upset this would be, even if the Knicks lost. I mean, it would be bad if they lost the series when they were like right there.
Oh man, this would be a heartbreaker, man. Really big,
but like
heartbreaker.
Not really, because like you have a ton of you have a ton of assets. You're like a reliable team that people are going to want to come to. You're either going to have a shot at Paul George, you might have a shot at Devin Booker, you might have a shot at Kevin Durant. Like, you know, the future's bright. You got a guy who you know could be maybe a 1A, but certainly a 1B. Like, you're good. Ideally, you'd like to win this series because, you know, Embiid can't do anything on in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I think his perception around the league has changed a lot from some of his antics.
He has turned into a legitimate enemy for at least a Knicks fan. But yeah, a lot of people are noticing how dirty of a player he is. And I just want to say with the thing that I say in terms of making a disappointing season, you're right, the future is bright. And if we do get knocked out on Saturday night, it will definitely sting for a few days. We'll get over it and look forward to the future. But for a team that did win 50 games, a team that was a second seed, a team that got
conference finals with potentially a shot at the actual finals, depending on the Celtics' health.
Yeah, like, exactly. Another reason
like you're
why
playing,
you want to there.
You're either playing whatever shambles of Milwaukee makes it out of the next round or a Pacers team that, you know, I don't think they're ready for that. I mean, after this series, I'd be a little less confident about them against the Pacers than I would that I was going into this. But, you know, it's interesting.
So having said
what are you going to do? And, like, Denver would trade for him, basically.
Yeah, and I even think Knicks fans who clearly hate his guts right now would sell their soul to get Big Man like that. But only time will really tell there. All I could say is got to pull this off, and then whatever the result is, we'll definitely reflect on it next week. But this is a crucial series for so many momentum sakes. But just about those offseason moves, it was reported right now, not to look too much into the future, because there'll definitely be shows for that, that Devin Booker, after getting eliminated from the Suns, and we'll talk about the Suns after this segment, allegedly they're going to try really hard to have him team up with Brunson and become a Knick. Do you buy into that? Do you think that's just fodder? You think that's just NBA insiders trying to, you know, come up with some news to talk about? How legitimate do you think that is, those rumors are?
Like 30%, because like all the Kentucky guys, you know, there's always rumors of the Kentucky guys coming into New York, because that's who runs their organization, is all the Kentucky guys. So like they're rumored for Cat for a while, and it wouldn't be surprising that they'd be going for Booker. But we'll talk about that like more when we get to Phoenix. But I don't know, they're in a good spot.
Like you said, the future's bright. Let's just confirm and let's seal the deal and win this series. And it's going to be a very fun, hostile crowd. I'm sure you saw the Philly fans after Knicks fans took over on Sunday specifically. They're going out of their way to make sure Philly fans are actually there. So far, I saw the split is like 40 New York, New Jersey fans, 40 Philly, and like a handful other people like Delaware and Connecticut and stuff. It's going to be a full crowd to see how they pull it off. And especially with the Nova guys who've been successful in that building now, I don't think they'll let the crowd handle them. It's all about just beating your opponent at this moment and making sure Maxey doesn't run all over you, get another 50 burger. Make sure Embiid stays not playing 100% and don't have other people like a Tobias Harris sneaking in there or an Oubre score.
You don't have to worry about that. Tobias Harris is like the most non-factor player. Like, it's incredible
how that, and just, you saw like, Kyle Lowry 0 points in game 5-0.
It doesn't matter. Like, Kyle Lowry is not out here to score points. Like, if you're looking for 37 years old to Kyle Lowry to score points, you're probably in trouble. Kyle Lowry's out there to be an agitator. And you know what? He's kicking DiVincenzo's ass. Like,
yeah, and
he's
the
one guarding
DiVincenzo.
And DiVincenzo. Yeah. So Kyle Lowry's not there to score points. Kyle Lowry's there to, like, settle things down and to agitate.
Yeah, and the enforcer.
And it worked because he did it on the technical free throws. When Jalen Brunson was going to shoot the technicals, Kyle Lowry's on the bench, and then he started like waving his hands to like start talking to somebody about like something on that bench just to like be a distraction, and it worked.
Yes, it did, and now you got to make your in-game adjustments and see how far things go. I hope from your lips to God's ear, Knicks take Game 6. If not, a Game 7 on Saturday night at the Garden. And we'll go from there. So might as well keep on the Suns route for the moment, because we mentioned it already. Then we'll go with the other series alive. Timberwolves sweep the Suns. Didn't have a chance. It's over now. Put at peace wherever they are. T-Wolves, you know, at the end we'll preview the T-Wolves next series. But the Suns, my man, as you mentioned, season was over when game one started. Now their season's officially over. Now what? You do expect Kevin Durant gone, I would assume?
I have no idea. This is the most fucked franchise in the league. Like, let's go through the picks that they have control over between now and 2031. They have a 2027 second rounder and a 2030 second rounder. That's it. Those are the only picks that they have control over between now and 2031. Like, they got nothing. You can't, they cannot sign anybody because they're over the second apron. Like, you can't trade Bradley Beal. Just Bradley Beal may have had one of the worst performances in an elimination game in NBA history. Like, I don't, like, that is legendarily terrible stuff.
I think it was only 9 points in the whole game.
Nine points. He had some really bad turnovers. He was just really bad. And look, you know, Bradley Beal's been a high scorer on teams that have won like 30-ish games for the last like 4 years. The only reason they were in the playoffs a couple years ago is because of Westbrook. Like, Bradley Beal has never been the answer. Like, they were okay in 2017. When they made the Eastern Conference or the semifinals, but like that was almost a decade ago. Like, Bradley Beal has never been the answer. Like, the fact that the owner looked around at what happened in losing to Denver and said, "You know what's going to help us? Bradley Beal is going to make a difference." Like, this team had so many structural issues in the first place. Like that Denver series. There was only four people who scored above 15 points in a game in that entire series. It was Booker, KD, Campaign, and Landry Shamet. Like, that was it.
Not a formula to win. And by the way, I have it right here. 9-1-2 for Bradley Beal, as you said. 4-for-13 from the field.
Like, this, first off, this is, like, the game was close, but this was a soft team. Like, they were soft. And this is like what if you're trading for like Booker, you should keep this in mind that like he may be good, but his teams have done this for a couple years now where they've had the lead and then they've just crumbled. Like, they're just not good when they get punched in the mouth. Like, they played their, like, you know, they kept it closer, but watching that game, you didn't feel like they were gonna.
No chance. And Anthony, and then we have Anthony Edwards just showing the dog he is. Like, he himself embarrassed that whole franchise. And for a team that really went in championship or bust. This is as bust as it gets with this new owner.
Could have not made the playoffs.
True.
Like, that would have been, like, I don't know. So the only avenues you have to get better are basically scrounge around for some minimum salary guys or pray that somebody's dumb enough to take Beal. And assuming Beal trades his waves his no trade clause, or you trade Durant or Booker, like
you got to.
At which point, what are you doing? Like, first off, who if you're Durant, like if you're trading for Durant, this isn't even Brooklyn Durant. Like when he was coming off an Achilles, like he can't. Like remember when he had that series when they were playing the Bucks, and he had that. Let's say it was Game 6. And he went for like 49 and everything was like going through him. Like he can't do that anymore. He doesn't have that level anymore, which is not to say he's not really fucking good because he is still really good. But he doesn't look any older than he is, but he's 36.
His body's gone through a lot. And...
yeah. He just doesn't have the same wiggle.
I was just saying those pictures of Anthony Edwards literally outplaying him and throughout them getting compared. It's just a funny unofficial passing of the torch, but clearly he just stole it from him.
Well, it's more than just the Durant piece. Like Anthony Edwards took the two guard torch from Booker. Like Anthony Edwards is going to start in on the Olympic team. Booker's not going to start in that spot. That's Anthony Edwards' spot. Like he is the best American player going forward. Like it was him or Ja, but it's him. Like he's better than Ja. Like going forward, it's like the Jokic, Giannis, Embiid, Wemby, Anthony Edwards. I mean, maybe Cooper Flagg, but we don't know yet. But like he's that dude now. And that fourth quarter, he just like took them to town. I think he's still hurt. I don't know if we've gotten really an update for his leg, but he was hurt and he just said, you know what, I'm going to torch everybody.
Yeah.
And then he did. And although I do have to say there was a couple of like really bad defensive possessions where Durant got on my backdoor cuts. And this is like going to frustrate me as long as this Wolves team is together. Rudy Gobert is like the worst offensive player I think I've ever seen in my lifetime. Like it is incredible how bad he is. Just watching him dribble. Like there is no fear. Anybody should have like Mitchell Robinson has at the rim range, but like I feel like if Mitchell Robinson caught the ball at the free throw line, I would be comfortable or I wouldn't like have like oh my god
he's not shooting he's not turnover. Banking those in,
but he can make a dribble and like make a layup. Rudy Gobert, I have no confidence. Like there is no he has literally no touch outside of a dunk. Like there was I don't remember if it was game 3 or 4. Where he had a layup attempt, and it was maybe one step outside the circle. And I don't know if he did it on purpose. I have to assume he didn't. And he shot it off the side of the backboard, and Jalen McDaniels got the rebound and put it back up. Like, that was but by the time he's reaching there, he's, like, right at the rim anyway. Like, it was just so – he is so bad offensively. It's, like, actually incredible that – And I understand it because if you watch their games, there'll be like 2 to 3 possessions a game where Rudy like slips by somebody and he's standing there either with a guy who's like a foot shorter than him or wide open and they will not pass him the ball. Like it is. And you know what? Like when he was in Utah, people were like, oh, it's because Donovan Mitchell hates him. But if you watch him play, it's like, no, it's because he sucks. Like he really has like such an unbelievably poor touch offensively. It's like incredible.
So you really think like his boards really salvage his entire career?
He's a good defender simply because of how big he is, and he does have a good understanding of like where to be defensively. But his offense is just on a like it's like you take like you know when a kid gets like a really young kid gets a growth spurt and like super uncoordinated.
Yeah,
he's like that.
And, you know, you're talking about the teammate aspect. Remember, there was that fight with the Warriors earlier this year. And a lot of people wouldn't defend him. They're letting the Warriors pretty much go in after him. I don't know if it's an aspect. I'm just speculating if he's like, if his teammates even care enough to
I don't
help
think
the
this,
guy out.
I think this is a very close team. I think that has a lot to do with Edwards. Like, a lot of guys mm-hmm. like him. And he's like very there for his teammates. You know, he was like, this is going to be the quote that lives on in infinity, infamy for this franchise as long as this core, at least these two guys together, is they have KD, but we have Jalen McDaniels. Like going into that series, that's an insane thing to say.
Man's like, confident.
Yeah. And Jalen McDaniels played well, and Cat played really well. But the problem with Cat is, like, he's going to do some dumb shit during the game. Like, he really has, like, some real piss-poor basketball IQ sometimes, where he'll, like, do, like, some of these dumbass fouls. Like,
do you think he's almost a little bit too crazy? Like, I don't know if you saw some of the AD or Anthony Edwards.
Nah, man. Great kid. I this is exactly what, like, he's the guy you want. Like, everybody would want that kid.
Mm-hmm. Throwing the DX suck it after in game three and all of that.
He's the right he's confidence level. Because it's not like he's not doing it in like, this is, I think, is something like, if Booker was doing it, it would be like people would be mocking him for it. But like, this is who he is. And he's like got this level of confidence and he's backing it up. Although, like this is a dude who was in an Adam Sandler movie to be a lower pick that he was actually in for a different university. Like, that's such a weird thing to do. Like it was so weird that he was in it. Also, just the premise, like, I do think that needs to be discussed more, that, like, the premise of this movie was that this random undrafted guy wasn't as good as the potential second overall pick. Like, of course he's not. That's why you're not heard of, and he's the second overall pick. Like, they're like, oh, we can't draft him because he's not a good second overall pick. It's like, you're a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. That was such a dumb aspect. Like no GM looks at it and thinks, like, yeah, I guess I'm not going to take him because he's not as good as this other guy.
And these draft day movies are tough.
This is a good Minnesota team. And we're going to get to the Nuggets. But I think there's a lot more confidence in this Minnesota team than went before the Blazers. Now, keep in mind, and I'm pretty sure I've said this, this is a Minnesota team that matches up really, really well with a lot of different teams. I think they match up super well with the Thunder because they're way bigger. I think they match up size-wise with Oklahoma, with Denver. They match up really well against the Clippers because the Clippers want to do a lot of ISO, and they have the ISO defenders. And kind of the same thing with Dallas. But, like, this is a team that the issue for this team is not going to be talent. It's they're not going to be able to keep this core together. Like, it's just going to be too expensive.
Yeah, as a lot of teams have faced that, so it's win now, it's now or never, as they say. So,
unlike the Nuggets or some of these other teams, they don't have draft picks coming in. Like, they gave them all away to get Rudy, which worked, but they don't have the draft picks anymore. Like, they're gonna have to be one of those teams that, like, really nail their scouting department to get these, like, later round addition guys. But this is not historically a franchise that has done that.
No, you ever met a true Minnesota Timberwolves fan?
I only know of one.
Are they from there?
In person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're from there. I don't think they're like, I've never met one in person who's not, like, from there.
It's like, the rise of this franchise, and, you know, everybody's been pointing out how we have no more LeBron, no more Steph, no more KD. This dude generation come in with the Anthony Edwards and the Jalen Brunson and the Tyrese Maxeys. And it's also these franchises who've never been highlighted in decades. I mean, have the T-Wolves been this relevant since Kevin Garnett? Like, I really can't think.
That was the last time they won a playoff series.
And, whoa, Jesus. That has to at least be – that's mid-2000s, the latest, off the top of my head.
I think it was 2004.
Yeah, you're right. I see it right here. Last playoff, last time they were in the second round, 2004. So, bottom line is T-Wolves coming up with this, you know, true agony for many seasons, and now they really have something to look forward to.
Like, they could – this team can win a title. They're that good, and they're confident. Like, this was – the type of series that a team goes into and, you know, people are doubting them. Like, the Suns beat them, like, in every game this year. And they came in and they just yoinked their hearts out.
Yep.
Like, it, And you know, that's a level of confidence that teams, like, obviously the question now really is Anthony Edwards going to be fully healthy, and is Chris Finch going to be able to be on the sidelines? Like, that's
you're talking about the coach who was run over.
Yeah, he tore something in his knee or something. I don't know if he's gotten the surgery or not.
I want to confirm. I never checked in on if he actually tore a ligament.
I think he did tear something. That was weird. And apparently Nick Nurse hurt himself too. But the report was
he broke his finger, right?
His finger. But like, that's not a. I mean, you know, you still can show up and coach that. Like, if he, I don't know if this is, because I know there was that coach in the March Madness a couple years ago. Who maybe broke? I don't remember what his injury was, but he was on the sidelines and he had the little leg scooter. That may have been a broken leg. I don't remember what that injury was, but like, I don't know. I think that's an interesting thing. But this is a good ass Timberwolves team. Good for them. They deserve this.
Indeed, and we'll break down the Nuggets later on, and then we'll get in that series. But I do have at the moment answer your question. He did receive surgery today, and he plans to for a torn. Oh, where's the? I just had the injury. Sorry. But he's planning to. He did get injured. He got surgery today, and he will be traveling with the team for game one in Denver. So. We should expect him to be there, but I guess just wearing a brace or something. But we shall move on and talk about that a little later. I actually want to talk about the Cavs and the Magic. Now, the first two games were blowouts. All the home team win, but this game five was fun. I don't know if you got to check it out, but seeing Paolo get a 30 burger, seeing Evan Mobley block on Franz, went right down to the wire. Cavs ultimately pull away with it. And though this Magic team has nothing to lose, and probably they are not ready for the moment either, but what they're cooking up, and if they could get a big star this summer, this Magic team is worth watching. And I haven't really watched too much Magic basketball, except when they played the Knicks, who they killed throughout the season, and Hintonville games here and there, but this is the first time I watched them consistently. And then this Game 5, especially on the road, showing what they could cook. That game could have gone either way, and who knows, maybe they could at least force a game seven in their home building. But this Magic and Cavs series is a little tighter than we might have thought in the beginning.
Yeah, I thought that Orlando was going to win because I thought they were going to be able to bully Cleveland. I think their offense is a little more disjointed.
Yeah, without Jared Allen as well in this game.
Yeah, this is a very fascinating series because, like, Orlando, like, it's good that these players get it and that, like, Powell has, like, such a huge burden on him because, like, Franz can't create because he's not that guy and his shooting is gone. Suggs isn't that. Like, their guards aren't that guys. So, like, the thing that they need is either another wing who can create or they need, like, an actual point guard. But the good thing for them is, like, there's a good, like, they have cap space because all their guys are on, like, rookie contracts, basically, except for, like, I think, like, Cole Anthony and maybe the Jonathan Isaac and then Carter Jr. probably. That's about it. Like, I don't know who else is going to come up for a contract. Like, I think Fultz is expiring. But, like, the guard situation, like, they could go in a ton of different ways. Chris Paul may be a free agent. You could maybe get Chris Paul for a year. You could possibly trade for Tyus Jones in Washington. You could do the ultimate dumbest thing, which would be to trade for Trae Young, which I think is the only team that would make sense to trade for Trae Young would be Orlando, because they have the pieces to do it. They can build around, like, they have the ability to, like, defend around him. And, like, that's what they're missing. Like, that would be the place for Trae to go, where it would make sense. Now, personally, I think that's the last case scenario. Also, I do think this would be a very interesting place for Donovan Mitchell to go if he was going to leave Cleveland. Because what do they need? They need a ball dominant guard. And, you know, it's hard to, like, if you're looking for a better structure, this Orlando team has it. Like, they just need another guy. Like, they're so fucking young. Like, that's the thing. Like, they're a team that that needs, they're just right there, and they're an interesting team for the future.
I don't know if this is just because everybody wants to name Paul George, but I also saw some Paul George rumors too.
I get the Paul George stuff. I don't know. I think just having like an actual guard, I think, would be better.
Yeah.
I know they have a bunch of guards because they also, you know, they have the Fultz, they have Suggs, they have Cole Anthony, they also have Anthony Black, they have was it Jet Howard that they drafted, which was the wrong pick at the time and is still the wrong pick. Like they have a bunch of guards, so you're gonna have to, like, this is the problem with what happened when they were trying to trade for Dame, is like all the teams that wanted him, all they were gonna give back is guards. And I still stand by the fact that I think they should have traded for Dame. I think them offering their two picks in this draft and whatever else to make the salaries work would have been like the ideal place for him, especially the way their season turned out.
And Portland as well.
Yeah, I think they would have gotten more out of having, like, because if you would have ended up with 3, 6, and 11 in this draft, and maybe they wouldn't have taken Anthony Black. They would have taken, I don't even fucking remember who else, but who went 7 there after that. Like, you don't take Anthony Black. They certainly don't. Maybe they take Grady Dick or who's the kid that Jordan Hawkins that the Pelicans took. Like, you take somebody different, and you can take three guys from this draft. And this was one of those drafts where, like, there's a lot of really good defender guys who just can't shoot, which is fine for this team because, like, the Portland kind of has guys who can score. They just need, like, more young guys. And that, I think that would have been the better option than what they ended up with.
As for the rest of this round one series and who will go on to play the Celtics, where do you see this going with Cleveland up by one?
I think it's 7. I think it's going to be Cleveland at 7 because neither team has won in the other building.
Yeah, it's been all home wins. Yeah. So it should be fun. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
So this is a very interesting concept, but it definitely needs to come up during the TV deals. They can't have blackouts for playoff games. Like, if your team is playing, that market has to be able to carry that. Like, that's insane.
You got to have NBA TV.
Especially for a series like this, like, yeah, that's on NBA TV. Like,
it's actually competitive.
Like, well, if it's on NBA TV, at least the home fans are going to want to watch it.
Right.
So, like, you can't have blackouts for, like, teams like this. Because you're going to see guys who, you know, you may never see again because they're just only on, like, the ESPN or the TNT games. And right, God knows where that goes next year or after the things. Like, then you got to have the blackout. Like, that cannot be – there's no way there's not more money in having non-blackout markets than whatever they're fucking doing.
Especially when you have 10 teams technically make the postseason now. For both conferences, so 20 in total, where you'll have markets all into it, and the in-season tournament. Hopefully, cooler heads prevail. But this is getting close.
It would make sense, like, especially for some of these teams, like if, like, the Warriors and the Kings are playing, could the Kings then carry Warrior games after that? Because they're going to be in San Francisco anyway, like. Like, the Knicks and the Nets could carry on similar networks.
That's, like, one of the benefits. I was just going to say, with the streaming services, you get to fix that problem.
Yeah, you can maybe hold
these games.
I don't know. That's just my thing. I don't know. This is a fun game, a series. I wish, well, fun in that they're both young and the games are kind of tight-ish. I mean, they've been a lot of blowouts. But, like, I kind of wish that it wasn't just solely regulated to NBA TV. I think only... Was game one the only game that wasn't on NBA TV?
I think it was all NBA TV.
No, because game one I watched. I don't have NBA TV, but I watched. Then maybe, I think it was the opening Saturday of the playoffs. Like, with
it was like at 1 in the afternoon.
Or I something. Yeah, that was I think it was the only game.
Okay. Then I'll stay corrected on that one. But yeah, these TV deals, it's getting hot now with Peacock and Amazon coming in. Wonder if they'll just have 3 instead of 2. They definitely have the capacity and money for it. I think it'd be interesting to see if Peacock could go in and the NBC can win that deal, get the third team. Hopefully we don't lose TNT and lose inside the NBA.
Is that the thing? Like, that's what I'm kind of hearing, is that they may lose TNT.
Yeah, that's the strongest one. But I heard if they do that, that NBC or Amazon, they'll write a blank check to bring in inside the NBA crew.
But, like during the season, that's where you watch the games on. Like, this, yeah, the Sunday matinees, but, like, the Tuesday, Thursday, that's TNT. Like, that, it's that group. I don't know how you lose that.
Oh, you just hope that Warner and TNT step up. I don't see why not. And they also have the Max deal. And they played a lot of games this year through Bleacher Report. I guess.
Yeah, I think that's been a massive success.
Yeah.
I think Amazon didn't do as good with football, but I think the Bleacher Report with Max and TNT did a really good job for these games. Because that lets you highlight those. I think I watched probably 5 or 6 Spurs games on TNT, on Max this year.
Yeah. So hopefully, it's all about the biggest bidder, but hopefully they pull it off.
But that's a good place to put, like, you know, Orlando next year, or maybe some Pelicans games. Like, right. Just something different in those type of games.
Definitely. I hear you loud and clear. Now, let's move on to the Pacers and Bucks, though. Again, also thought that the Pacers would wrap it up, especially after the Dame injury. But the Bucks prevailed, and they forced a game 6. And that's where we're at. Pacers up 3-2, but I think this is just delaying the inevitable. Am I right?
Yeah, I don't think, right? Like, I don't, Dame's not playing, right, in game 6? Or
nope. Still out. Listed as out at this moment as I'm reading the injury report.
And then they're like, maybe he comes back in game 7, right? That's the feeling.
Yes.
Is maybe he comes back in game 7.
Right.
I mean, look, it would be a huge letdown if this.
People don't let those calf injuries.
There's been
tough.
A lot of those this season.
Yeah. I don't think even if Dame comes back with a calf injury, he's not going to be the same.
Well, because, yeah, he only played good in the first half of game 1.
Right.
Like literally the first half, he did not score another point. So I don't know. It would be really bad for this Pacers team if they lost this series. But Pascal Siakam's been playing fantastic. Like, he's been the best player on the
court. What a midseason trade for that.
I mean, you know, it does help that without Giannis, there isn't really somebody on Milwaukee who can, like, stay with him.
Right.
But, like, he's done a really good job. So, you know, this will be a fun little Pacers team. They got some interesting pieces if they want to go trying to move around for something. And they're still pretty young. And they're you know, depending on what they sign Siakam to, they'll have some type of flexibility.
Do you feel like lately that Halliburton hasn't played up fully to his potential, being a 1A guy or even a 2? He's kind of struggled in this postseason.
I think he's still hurt.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it is. He came back because he wanted to make the 65 game mark. Yeah. And I don't think he like ever fully recovered from, I think it was a leg injury or something. I don't think he ever fully recovered from whatever it was. So I think that's probably what. Also, you know, sometimes you just, the lights are bright and you just kind of just don't have it.
Right. First, I believe,
I mean,
this
he hit
is
the game winner in
postseason.
Game
3.
Yeah, because I guess they didn't make it last year and he hadn't made it as a king.
Yeah.
He hit the game winner in game 3, so it's not like he hasn't, you know, had his moments.
Just something to grow more, but I think it would make sense. Didn't make the All-Star team this year. Could be growing something in Indy, and we'll ultimately see, but we do expect them to be in the second round against either the Knicks or the Sixers. So Cavs and Mavs right now, game 2, sorry, tied at 2. We have game 5 this evening. What do we think about what's going on here? Obviously almost blowing a 30-point lead, but kept it earlier in the series. James Harden's actually stepped up in the last couple of games, holding their own without Kawhi. But the Mavs have been insane. I mean, Kyrie's been – if there was an MVP for the first round, you could argue that he could get that. I mean, did you see that? You saw the triple team on him, and he
still
made the layup.
That was an unbelievable layup.
Yeah, like, right.
Like they have to win this series for that play not to get lost. Like
Right.
you gotta, because like if they like, yeah, in the concept of the game, like it's ultimately a meaningless play because he lost it, but it was like, this is why nobody has given up on him in the last 7 years when he hasn't been like either healthy or normal. Because he's this fucking good. And you know, Luka's been bad, and the Clippers should have lost this game. Like they came out in the first half, and they hit absolutely fucking everything. And I didn't even watch the third quarter. I had to run an errand, and I got a text that like they were down to like 3 minutes left of the quarter or something. And I was like, yeah, that seems about right, because it was just so unsustainable. And this wasn't like in game one where they got blown out. It was, they just hit everything. And I think the reason they win this game is because Jason Kidd doesn't put either Lively or Gafford in for Kleba, because they ran the same play every single time, and I think he had six floaters in that quarter, and they didn't have an anchor. But yeah, I'm still a little worried if I'm the Clippers. I'm certainly like if I'm I don't know why they looked at their team and decided, you know what, we're going to extend Kawhi instead of Paul George. Like, Kawhi was healthy for like 3 months straight, and they're like, we got this. We're going to sign him for another 4 years. And I've said this every year with this Clippers team. The regular season doesn't matter, and the postseason doesn't matter until Kawhi can prove he can play 2 months straight. And he can't. He hasn't done it since he left Toronto. Actually, no, I think since the bubble. I think he was healthy in the bubble, and that team just collapsed. So that was at least 4 years ago. But I, you know, they've looked so much better without him. And he just, I don't know what you do with this team. Like, I have no faith in them. I don't know what I'm getting from night to night from them. I don't know what I'm getting from Kawhi from day to day. I don't think they really know. And then God forbid they lose this game and Kawhi says, I'm coming back for game six. And then he sucks. Like, I don't know if you're signing Paul. They should resign Paul George, but you're not going to win a title with this team. Yeah. First off, they can't stay healthy. Second off, these are like historically bad playoff performers. Like, James Harden had a really good game. That's an outlier. Like, Paul George had 7 points and then he had a good game. Like, that's an outlier. Like, these are historically, which is, it's so weird that Paul George, like, he's the, like, designed for this era. And he just sucks in the playoffs. And I don't know. I think Dallas,
no matter where he's at,
is probably going to win. It depends. I don't know how healthy, like, if I'm, they play Oklahoma City, right? The winner of this plays Oklahoma City.
Yes, that's right.
If I'm Oklahoma City, I'm chilling. Like, if Luka's hurt, that, like, what a godsend this fucking team gets. Like,
right?
this is some 2015 Warriors mojo where every single other best player was hurt except for LeBron. Like, if they get the fucking Pelicans without Zion, and they may get, like, either an injured Luka or whatever shambles out from the Clippers.
Sometimes it just falls like that way.
Boston won by 34.
No mercy on that one. We could get to that.
Well, I mean,
next.
Boston's injury is basically what do you do with Porzingis? Which, you know, I think he's going to be out this entire next round.
And you want to talk about people who we thought were going to make it a whole season. And yeah, we could just go from Heat and Celtics right now with this, but tough injury. Gone out. It looked like it was a hand. I don't know if it was a hand. Let me get the official injury, but definitely tweaked something.
Was it calf? I thought it was a calf. It might have been. Anyway, like, okay. But this is why you have Xavier Tillman. This is why you have Luke Kornet. Like, don't overextend Al Horford, because you should be able to beat either of these teams without overextending Horford, especially if you're playing Orlando. You'll have, like, Jalen and Jason should have enough firepower between them to beat this team. Like, and you'll have, maybe you'll have another Derek White game.
Oh, man, Derek White went in again, showing the shooter he really is. By the way, it is a calf strain for Porzingis. But, yeah, now you got this. You have Drew Holiday playing well. Jason Tatum, not, you know, not being outrageously good, but, you know, playing fine. And, everybody's saying the Celtics are a favorite for the reason. And, you know.
Well, I mean, look, again, this is, like, it's hard to judge them on this series because they're just so much better.
Yeah, like the Heat were a fringe team, especially with no Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, like the game two, everything clicked. This is the same thing that happened with the Heat in the finals. Like, we had this conversation with Bars where literally everything had to go right for them and they, like, squeak it out. Like, they had a historic level of shooting to be a statistically average scoring team. Like, they're a bad offensive team by, like, every metric. This is not one of those, like, oh, Jason Tatum's not as good as everyone thought. I was like, he doesn't need to be. Like, we've seen him. He had like 57 against the Heat last, or against the Sixers last year. Like,
yes.
Like, he's had monster games. Like, he didn't need to do that against us. This was more like a mental thing. And you know, they take care of business. And honestly, I'm going to repeat this. I think it was good that they lost that game. Because it kind of, like, takes some of the expectations off of you.
Yes, and now they have some time off. That's the one benefit from here. I believe the earliest they would play would be Monday, and got to just regroup, see how serious this Porzingis injury is. But either way, the Celtics should be fine. And though the Heat are though definitely Orlando and the Cleveland a step up from the Heat, the Celtics still don't have too much to worry about. Only time will tell, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Orlando's a better defensive team, and then Cleveland will have more offense, but not in a way that really should, like, bother Boston. Because, like, they still don't have the wings. Like, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell are too small. They're smaller than the Celtics backcourt. And then, so, I guess you're going to put Mobley on either Tatum or Brown, and then what are we doing? Are we still doing Isaac Okoro? I don't even remember. Max Strus? Like, who the fuck is guarding the other one?
And I would feel it'd be Max Strus who got in a little more minutes, but yeah, we'll have to see in game one how this all unfolds and who whomever gets between those two franchises. But either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. And speaking of the Pelicans, speaking of the Thunder, Thunder-Pelicans, another sweep right there. Took care of them pretty easily. I don't think there's much to really break down here, only the Pelicans. Bad time that they didn't have yet. What?
I thought it would be, after game one, it certainly felt like this would be a closer series.
Yeah, and then the Thunder just ran away with it and shows the dogs that they are. And we really got robbed with the Zion injury. Zion actually playing to the player we expected to see out of Duke.
I don't think Brandon Ingram's on this team next year.
I don't think so either. He was disappointing though in this whole series. He definitely was the most disappointing.
Like, I don't, this, they got to change something. And like, I think they got to give Zion one more year because he was, like, healthy this year. He was, like, right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that playoff, he was the best player in that playing game.
Yeah. And then just that injury bug hit him in the wrong time.
Yeah.
But Thunder will be patiently waiting, and it should be fun. Now, let's talk about the Nuggets and the Lakers. Also, I thought this would be a little bit closer, and game five is definitely fun to see, but Jamal Murray, once again, after allegedly being sick, gets another game winner. Bad coaching from him again hits them, getting the most awkward save your season shot. LeBron couldn't do it. Passes it off to the half court shot.
Well, hold on. Yeah, that was an incredibly weird game. Like, just across the board. First off, I think I saw them miss more of those, like that Jokic turns around, throw a head pass. I think I saw him throw more of those out of bounds that game than I've seen at any point watching them. He had like nine turnovers that game. Like he was terrible. I mean, he had a 2020 game, but like, I'm not going to say it's the least impactful 2020 game because, you know, Andre Drummond has had them and, you know, that's like irrelevant. But that was awful. Like they play like garbage. Like just first of all, like the only person who showed up in this series was Michael Porter Jr. Like Michael, and it is so incredible to watch how, and I think I've said this a couple years ago, Michael Porter Jr. has not learned a single fucking thing from playing with Nikola Jokic. Like he is still a bad passer, like just in general, like he's just a bad passer in like a really crazy way that he is just like he. I wish he was a better defender. He's like he's gotten better at the rebounding, but his shooting is just so fucking good that, and it's like insane how good a shooter he is. But he is a bad passer. Like it is like when you play with guys like Jokic and Bird and like LeBron and these like high level savant guys, you like learn how to move and shit. But he doesn't have any idea how to pass or make some of these passes. Like he just really is. I'm going to shoot over you because I'm the number three option and nobody is ever big enough to stay in front of me because I can't see them. But I wish he had more. Granted, his entire family is like either banned or going to jail.
Yeah, did you see that? Another one? I didn't know. So there's three, there's four Porter boys.
At least four brothers.
Yeah.
So it's him. Jonte just got a lifetime ban. The next one is now going to jail. Because he killed somebody drunk driving. And then the other one just got arrested for drunk driving.
Like, yeah, and he's still playing. I didn't realize there were
this many Porter kids.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? but also, like, he's still playing, like, really well. Like, he kept them in that game. I think the biggest thing for them is health. They're certainly, like, if I'm the Nuggets, I'm less confident in myself. If I'm a Nuggets fan, I'm less confident in their ability to beat the Timberwolves than I was after game three. Like, this is not as good a team as we thought they were. They're certainly, like, they can't shoot. Like, they're, like, KCP and Gordon and Christian Brown, like, they shot, like, dogs. I think it was like 14, like 10% or something, like insanely low number they shot from 3-point range during that game. Like they're not hitting shots in the way that we're accustomed to because they're open shots. And there's certainly there's less depth to them than we're used to. Like, yeah, Reggie Jackson had to play a lot. Like, are they going to be healthy? Like, like, Jamal Murray kind of struggled. Like, he had his numbers, but he wasn't shooting great. And he's been guarded by Austin Reeves. Like, he's going to be guarded by either Ant or Jaden McDaniels next series. Like, that's a hell of a difference. Also, what the fuck happened to Anthony Davis? Jordan, like, bumped into him and his shoulder exploded?
Do you think this was just a result of the mile high exhaustion? Just some more bad luck?
I don't even know. Like I watched it, like I saw him go down, and then I watched the replay, and I was like, "What the fuck? Did we get?" I don't even know if we ever got an explanation for what happened, like some medical thing. But I don't know. This Lakers team's in a really weird spot, and I'm gonna tell you that Trae Young is not the answer.
Now, like, do you think? I'll let you finish your point.
Like, they're going to go star hunting. Trae Young, like, who are you going to guard with a 40-year-old LeBron James and Trae Young as 40% of your defense? And then, like, maybe Jared Vanderbilt will be back next year, but Russell's probably not. Is Rui's going to have to guard more people? Are you assuming Anthony Davis is going to be healthy again? Like, you're going to give up 150 points a game with if you trade for Trae Young.
And also just the big question is LeBron coming back? Now, I know at this moment he can opt out and become a free agent. Windenhorst reported that he expects LeBron to go into free agency, but doesn't mean can't come back. Yeah, I've heard things.
He might just do it to sign a better deal.
Right.
Or maybe a shorter deal.
I've heard that maybe He's going to go to the Sixers to follow Bronny as he goes to school in PA, so the family's closer. I don't know. And then, you know, of course, LeBron's not answering the question. And if people want to say he just wants to make it about him, whatever. But the big thing is, what's LeBron going to do? What do you think he's going to do, Faces?
I honestly have no idea. Because, like, I don't even know where it would make sense for him to go. Like, I know this is kind of goofy, but the best place is Oklahoma City.
LeBron like at that, OKC. Why not?
Like, that would be... but like
Michael Jordan was a Wizard.
I think it also depends on Durant. Like, I think Philly would be a mistake. I don't know how you... After tying yourself to Anthony Davis, yeah, you want to... Like, let's also be clear about this. Like, if this is the end of the LeBron era in the Lakers, it was a success. Oh, yeah. You won a title. Like, did you go as far as you could have? Like, they would have... Their title defense... They would have beaten that Phoenix team if LeBron and AD were healthy. They won both of the games that they were healthy. And then they just weren't healthy that series. And that's why they lost. Like, and then they were all injured like last year or something. Or no, 2 years ago, they didn't make the playoffs because he was hurt. But like, this was a success. You won a title. You know how many teams have won a title in that span? Four. Like,
yep.
You did good. You can't erase that. I think Philly's the wrong answer. Cleveland is a possibility, but I guess that depends on Donovan Mitchell. Miami, I know Miami gets floated around, but I don't know if he makes that much of a difference in Miami, unless they do more moves. I don't know, because the teams, like, they're like, oh, he should go to San Antonio. San Antonio is not going to sign a 40-year-old fucking LeBron. That shit's not happening. They're not at that level where they're going to sign him and mortgage their future. That would be dumb as hell. Maybe he goes to Golden State. Like that would be fun. Just fuck it. Just go to Golden State and play with Steph for a year or
it's
something.
Funny. LeBron's the one player who really you can imagine going anywhere for the sake of just it's LeBron. But at the same time, it's all about his son and what his sons want to do. And
I think Bronny should stay in the pool. I really think he should say. I don't think he is either good enough or showed enough last year. And also, you know, what if he goes to the Knicks? Like, that's an option.
In only, what, 14 years too late. But, I mean, that's what's weird. And who will actually – what franchises will actually go out of their way to make this Bronny deal happen, too? You're pretty much the package
that's
deal.
That's going to be the more interesting part of the second half of the draft would be that. But, like, I don't know where else he goes. I don't know. I think staying, like, this Lakers team is not going to win a title as currently constructed. Like, they're clearly not good enough to beat Denver. I don't know if they're probably good enough to beat Oklahoma City this year. Like, this year they could have beaten Oklahoma City. I think they're big enough and they're strong enough that they would have had enough of an advantage on Oklahoma City. I don't think they after watching those Timberwolves play the Suns, I don't think they could beat them either. Mm-hmm. And then next year, you know, the Grizzlies are coming back. Golden State may come back. Like, there's going to be stuff. I think if LeBron leaves, you trade Anthony Davis too. You just blow it all up. Just fuck it. Rebuild. Like, you're not going to, like, you can't, you're not going to be able to sell higher on Anthony Davis than you are this season.
Oh, yeah. Then you got obviously get a new coach too. He said Ham is stepping down, so it's a good excuse for a rebuild.
Yeah, if you rebuild, just get somebody young. Just get some like young guy who can fuck around for a couple years, and maybe you find some like don't hire like
Rajon Rondo. I've heard this is somebody bring his name up for some reason.
I think he's coaching somewhere.
I don't know. No, I tried to look him up.
He's taking classes at Kentucky because I know his name was one of the names they were floating to be the Kentucky head coach.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. He just retired 2 years ago. And he thinks some coaching experience somewhere.
Yeah, he may have been like an unofficial coach on the Kentucky teams.
Interesting.
Because I know he said he'd spent time with Dillingham. And I don't know if that was an official capacity or not.
Okay.
But I don't think that Rondo would be the right coach for them. Certainly, like if LeBron leaves, certainly not. Like, or somebody like, they'll be like, oh, J.J. Redick. I think J.J. Redick is probably going to go coach the Hornets, which, God bless J.J. Redick if he goes and coaches the Hornets, because that team fucking sucks.
I've heard that's the reason why they teamed up on this new podcast, to quote-unquote get him ready to be his coach. Again, I don't know. You know how people are.
If LeBron stays in the Lakers, he might be the Lakers coach.
Either regardless, you expect J.J. Redick, whether for Charlotte or Los Angeles, to be a coach in the NBA next year.
I don't know if it'll be next year, but probably within the next 2 years. I think he's like he clearly understands and he's smart enough to be like a coach, and he has a high level of understanding of the game.
Yeah, he's amazing on ESPN, right? And what I've heard from his pod,
it's not all like it's like player management stuff as well. So I don't know that aspect of it. And then again, like the problem, like this is one of those things, like if he goes and he coaches in Charlotte, he's going to have the Brett Brown effect where his coaching record is just going to be like minus 300 because
to start off your career.
Yeah. Like Brett Brown is never going to dig out of the hole of being the process Sixers where they won like 30 games over 4 years. Like that, that's on your record forever, man.
Yeah, that kills your winning percentage. Not even close to 500. That'll look bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he'll probably coach somewhere in the next couple of years.
So the one series that is set right now, and then we'll put a bow on it till next week. You have the Timberwolves. You have the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Denver Nuggets. We have a one seed versus a three seed. Right now, a two seed versus a three seed. Two seed in Denver, three seed in Minnesota. Denver is your early favorite. And their spread is at minus 230. But Denver is your favorite at this moment. You ask.
Where does the game kick off? Where does game one on that? Saturday?
Right now, game one is on Saturday, yes. In Denver. What do you think about this series? It's going to be really fun. Anthony Edwards versus Jokic. See this dominance here. What does this Timberwolves team have? I'm very excited for this series. And if
I think this goes seven. Now, caveat. I don't remember if we ever got an update on Caldwell Pope, what his injury was.
I'll look that up while you
I think it was an ankle sprain. But, like, if they're not healthy, they may just get punched in the mouth in game one. It's certainly possible. I think this goes seven. I think the Nuggets are a little rattled, and I think this Wolves team is like feeling themselves in a way that they could like drag this out. But the thing, this very much feels like whoever wins this is going to win the finals. And this is no disrespect to Oklahoma City or to Boston. I don't think Boston's beaten either of these teams. And I just think Oklahoma City's too small. So there's – I think Nuggets in seven.
Nuggets in seven. Assuming
they're healthy.
Yeah, I see it going to Nuggets in seven as well. With the advantage, with the playoff experience, with even though the injury concerns that Caldwell Pope does have a sprained ankle – and he's right now questionable.
As good as Anthony Edwards is, Jokic is better. Like he's still better. But
definitely, and he could obviously outplay Jamal Murray too.
Right, but like Anthony Edwards, like he has that aura now of a guy who like can come in with Jokic to say like, yeah, I can win this series even against you. Like he's got that like it factor.
Now. Yeah, that dog mentality. But I think it'd be very interesting as well. And it'll all come down to just how they play cohesively, get in those boards, good shooting team, a lot of momentum. And both teams just about have the equal number of rest. It should be very interesting and a lot of fun, but I agree with you. This could very well be whoever wins this series will ultimately win the whole thing. But it should be fun. But that'll wrap it up for today. We will see how the rest of these series unfold. Then after that, we'll start talking round two, your conference semifinals, and it should be a lot of fun. Thank you very much, Faces. Don't forget to check out his stuff on Fresh Faces, new ideas across all social media platforms. And I'll see you next week. And go next.